ambiguity and distinction, historical, cultural dynamics.
Welcome to our podcast series, Ambiguity and Distinction. This is Ahmad Hamid, and in this episode, I will be taking you into the exciting but terrifying world of apartheid South Africa and show you how a system that in its core was intolerant against ambiguity created the very same in the process of trying to solve it. For this, I will introduce you to the colored community of South Africa. I'm guessing that most of you have heard that term before, being used generally for people of color, but not so in South African apartheid. They are the people who were labeled colored, were people of a specific group, and the rationalization of apartheid, they composed a distinct race which was culturally different from the historical dominant white minority and the numerically preponderant African population. In the ideology of apartheid, all races were supposed to be separated from each other, so they could develop independently and without influencing one another. Interracial influence was stigmatized to corrupt development and hinder best possible outcomes. To deploy such ideology, it was essential to define the different racial groups clearly and cleanly. Any overlap, indistinction, or ambiguity was incompatible with the practical application of separate development. This is what makes the case of the coloureds so interesting. To understand what problem the coloureds posed for the apartheid government, you have to know who we are talking about. Who are these so-called coloureds? Nowadays, the coloureds are a very diverse group that originated from the indigenous people who were settled in the Cape when the colonial Dutch and later British came to what is now known as South Africa. With the introduction of slaves who were shipped from Asia and other parts of Africa to the Cape, who then were penned together with the indigenous San and Khoi, a new heterogeneous group of people arose who came to be known as the colored people of South Africa. However, being also partly descendant from European settlers, colored people have popularly been regarded as being of mixed race and historically held an intermediate status in South African racial hierarchy. In the Population Registration Act of 1950, which required the South African population to be categorized in distinct racial groups, the coloureds were described as, quote, a person who is not a white nor native, native meaning black in this context. Following is an abstract of an interview with Reverend Dr. Alan Buzak, who was a prominent character in the anti-apartheid struggle and one of the coloured leaders, where he expresses his thoughts on the history of coloured culture, their manufactured proximity to the white ruling class, and their closeness to African culture.
So you alienate them from their history, from their country, they must have no memories, you alienate them from their culture, you destroy all of that, then you create a new culture, which you then begin to call a coloured culture.
Yes, yeah.
They're connected with slave culture. And then you take that colored culture and you begin telling the colored people that because you are who you are, you are not like these Africans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are therefore not as savage as these Africans.
Yeah.
You have far more chance of civilization.
Yeah.
See, by the way you are composed as a group of people, you've got some white blood in you. So the civilization strain is already there. What you should do is to strive to become as civilized as possible, which means as white as possible, which means as European as possible. If you do that, there will definitely be benefits.
Yeah.
That always, always has been coupled with the idea that colored people, in the eyes of the colonizer, are of a higher standard in terms of civilization, more acceptable, more open, and therefore the road to assimilation into the privileged white society for us was possible and much greater chance than any African.
Right.
So if I excel at white education, and if I excel at English, and if I excel in my manner, in my tastes, in my speech, in my opinion, to sound more and more British, that was the sign of my climb in civilization and the sign of my acceptability.
Yeah.
This is a long way around, but it makes sense in the end if you have a little patience. And so we have, but you can't have that just as it is, because race and racism is always a very strong determining thing.
Yeah.
So it happened that the coloreds, now remember we mixed, the coloreds who looked more white, and there was a whole strain of them, especially in the Cape. Those of us who come from the rural areas, we retain a lot of our Khoi way of life, the way we look, the way we talk. Well, because my father comes from Carnarvon, that used to be deep in the Northern Cape. His family clearly has strong DNA bonds with the Xhosa. Xhosa people always told me, your name is wrong. Your name shouldn't be Busa. Your name should be Busakwe. Busakwe is an old Xhosa name. So when Africans relate to me, they relate to me as Busakwe. Especially the role that I began to play in the struggle. But my father, in terms of skin color, I wrote about a thing called pigmentocracy. So in South Africa, it's the, your pigment of your skin determines your place in society. That's the pigmentocracy. My father's skin, it was much, much darker than Mandela. Mandela looks like a colored person next to my dad.
All right, okay.
But my mother, though, had an Irish grandfather.
Right.
So she, when she was younger, had red hair.
Okay.
Now she's white.
Yeah.
So our family that came out of that had the range.
Yeah,
so, and that was the case with many.
Yeah, I've seen
that. But in the Cape, though, you have lots of people who were classified colored.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes, they're white.
Here is a short abstract of a conversation I had with Aunt Vivian. She's a colored woman in her early 60s. She comes from a working class background, worked as a secretary in an American company, and now lives in Kensington, a lower middle class area in Cape Town. She was never particularly political. Her thoughts on colored descendant are contradictory to Dr. Puzak's statement and more likely represent the beliefs of the majority of the colored community.
That is, let's put it this way. Most of the colored people, they have, their ancestors are white.
Yes.
We are my ancestors in Ireland.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Madden.
Yeah.
It's an Irish surname.
Yeah.
So if you go up to the, look at the family tree, where do we come from? We come from the whites.
Yeah.
You know. But later on, the coloreds intermingled. Like, they had a white mother, a white father, and a colored mother.
Yeah.
They somehow intermingled later on.
Yeah.
Then it's another family. And then those colors would get married and produce more colors, real colors. But if you question where they actually stem from, where the ancestors come from the white man.
So it's obvious like the colors are obvious, you would say, were closer to the white. Like it was that.
Yeah, yes, closer to the white than to the, to
black.
The black.
Looking back into the colored history, it is extremely tragic to observe how the coloreds were instrumentalized by powerful interests. First, they were separated from their past, their heritage, and their culture. On top of that, a sense of superiority over fellow Africans and a closeness to European culture was implanted in their minds, promising them equal footing with the white population if only they would try hard enough to assimilate. All of it was done to drive a wedge between the oppressed people of South Africa, to avert any united resistance that could be a threat to white minority rule. And finally, in the extreme era of racism during apartheid years, in the process of a pure white race, the colored community was pushed away once again from their manufactured substitute identity and left marginalized and hanging in between. The only consistency in this diverse group was that they were not white enough and not black enough. Only by creating distinct racial groups with the intent to be able to ascribe every South African into these categories, apartheid managed to push a whole group of people into ambiguity. So what can we take out from this episode? Considering Theodore Adorno's famous quote, "Intolerance of ambiguity is the mark of an authoritarian personality," I found it interesting to apply it on a whole society. Apartheid South Africa can indisputably be considered an authoritarian society, and their compulsion of categorizing people painstakingly does seem a little pathological. So it is fascinating to see how this compulsion was not only unable to dissolve ambiguity, but rather proliferated. The colored people of South Africa are a living reminder of this state pathology. Thank you for listening. I'm Ahmad Hamid, PhD student for the research group Ambiguity and Distinction, Historical and Cultural Dynamics. The name of the subproject is Rainbow Between White and Black, Ambiguous Identity and Colored Politics. Until next time, goodbye and tot ziens.